So I learned most of what I know how to do with my hands from my mother. She was the type that if something broke, you fixed it. You know, just try it. She said, if you break it more, it's still broke. I said, okay, we'll give it a try. And this was back before YouTube videos when you could literally look up every single thing. You actually had to do it. She, if the TV stopped working, do you all remember these old TVs with tubes in them? Yeah, you remember those? Yeah, she would take it, put it on his face, rip all the tubes out of it, take them up to 7-Eleven, test them, find out which one is bad, go back, stick them all back in, put the back on, put it up, turn it on, fine. No trouble. My dad, however, I had to say, Dad, this is a flat-headed screwdriver, and this is a Phillips head screwdriver. He really wasn't a handy person. Now, he was a salesman. So what I learned from him wasn't so much how to work on the car and such as that, but how to work with people, how to enjoy people and bring out the best in people and all of that, engage people. I learned a lot from him. But most dads are much more comfortable with that first set of stuff, you know, trying to fix the car, for instance. I've shown Wilson how to change a tire. And when we were up in the mountains, his brother taught him how to do a brake shoes or brake pad replacement on the side of the road, actually in the parking lot of an auto zone up in North Carolina. It's great. You teach these things because we know this stuff. But not all dads do, and it's a challenge. There's a story of one dad who, brand new dad, just trying to figure out what to do with the baby, and the mom says, I got to go to the store, you're up. And so he's a little terrified, but and nobody reads the instructions. I've looked on these babies, there's no instructions printed. When Michael came home, I looked at it everywhere, there's not a single instruction. So he's doing the best he can, but the baby starts to cry. And he does everything he knows. Nothing's working. And finally, the baby won't stop crying. He can't get his wife on the phone, so he takes the baby up to urgent care. What do I do? The baby won't stop crying. And the doctor looks in his ears and checks his throat. All the things, just real quick glance over to see what could be bothering the baby. Gets down to the diaper, opens it up and says, well, here's the problem. It is absolutely full. And the dad said, no, the instruction said that they're good to 10 pounds. 10 pounds. Okay, all right. So being a dad is not an easy thing to do sometimes. There was a survey of elementary children conducted a few years ago. What are the 10 most appreciated qualities of their dads? And listen to what they said. And these are important things. Number one, he takes time for me. Number two, he listens to me. He plays with me. He invites me to go places with him. There's nothing I enjoyed better than going to places with my dad. Just get in the car, whatever we're going to do. Number five, he lets me help him. Number six, he treats my mother well. Number seven, he lets me say what I think. Number eight, he's nice to my friends. Number nine, he only punishes me when I deserve it. And number 10, he isn't afraid to admit when he's wrong. Well, an anonymous father wrote one time, 100 years from now, it will not matter what my bank account was or the sort of house I lived in or the kind of car I drove, but the world may be different because I was important in the life of one child. It's important. And it's not easy. I read a story of a dad who promised his two sons to take them to the circus, but early in the morning when they were supposed to go, a phone call came, and he was being called to go to work, go downtown and do something. And the mom could hear him in the other room, and the boys were sitting at the table eating their breakfast, and they could just see them crestfallen that, yeah, we're not going to be able to go to the circus. But dad said to it, listen, I know it's important, but I can't come in right now. That's just going to have to wait. And he came in and he sat down, and the mother said, well, you know, the circus will come back. It's not the only time it's going to be here. And he said, yeah, but childhood doesn't last forever. It's important to be a dad. If you're going to be a dad, be a dad. Be there for them, knowing what to do. And actually doing it, though, is not easy. These little people that are running around our houses, our children and our grandchildren, they're screaming for our attention. They don't come with those instruction books. And, of course, we are men, and we wouldn't read those instructions anyway. So it's a challenge to be a good dad. And so today we honor and we recognize fathers. It was Molly's, age 7, job to pack lunches for the family. And she would put the sandwiches into the box. There would be some fruit and, you know, a little drink and all of that into a paper bag. But one day, in addition to that paper bag, she handed it to her dad, and there was another bag that was all kind of wrapped up in ribbons and bows and things and some markings on it, and it was all sealed up a little bit. here, Daddy, I want you to take this to work with you. And so he did, and he went to work, and when he's eating his lunch, he looked at this package, and he says, well, I wonder what this is. So he couldn't get it untied, so he just sort of ripped it open a bit, and out poured these things: 2 hair ribbons, 3 small stones, 1 plastic dinosaur, 1 plastic stub of a pencil, a tiny seashell, 2 animal crackers, a marble, a used lipstick, a small doll, 2 chocolate kisses, and 13 pennies. Unsure of what the little girl meant by these gifts, he just kind of smiled to himself and thought, well, how quaint. And then realizing that it was getting late and he had work he had to do, he just hurriedly swept all of that into the trash can. And as he did this, he noted later, because there was nothing there that I needed. So when he got home, the little girl said, Dad, where's the bag? Yeah, what bag are you talking about, honey? He said, my bag of treasures I gave you this morning. I thought you might like to play with them. Oh, that bag, he said. Well, it's still at the office. Well, I want it back, she said. Those things are very important to me. Well, of course, honey, I'll get your bag back for you tomorrow. Oh, and Daddy, here's something I forgot to give to you this morning. And it was a little note that said, Daddy, I love you. Well, he got into his car as quietly as he could, went back to the office, frantically checking the wastebasket, and found to his relief it had not been emptied. Quietly, he dumped all of its contents on the desk, and he sorted through these, quote, treasures. And just then the janitor came in and said, excuse me, did you lose something? Yes, he said, I think I lost my mind. The next day at home, he asked his daughter, would you tell me what these things mean to you? And every single one of them, she patiently explained, was something that was important to her because of something that reminded her of him. Some activity that they had done, some place they had gone, whatever, and these things were important to her. The image of a good father is presented to us in Scripture. It's woven into the Scriptures from the front of the book to the back of the book. Paul, writing to the Thessalonian church, touches on this when he notes that the congregation in Thessalonica was renowned in its powerful witness and its reputation as a strong church. A part of the reason for that reputation is revealed here in the second chapter. Paul, Silas, and Timothy had exemplified for the Thessalonians what it meant to be a father. And make no mistake about it, the church whose men are strong father figures, not just in their own families, that church can be a mighty force for God. And so note with me first that God considers the role of fathers so significant that he incorporated it into the very life of the church. He built it into the church. Romans 8:13 tells us, for if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if the spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Visualizing God is something that can be very challenging for us. A man related how he had always had a very uneasy relationship with God. He always pictured God as this stern, unpleasant figure who was perpetually displeased with him. But one day he was shaving and he felt a prompting to try to visualize how can I see God differently? And so in his mind's eye, he saw this majestic man on a throne step off of that throne and come down and robed in white, with a stern look on his eyes, but yet in the dream seemed, as it unfolded him, he watched in wonder as it rose, came to him, and then wrapped his arms around him and held him close. That one vision, that one way of looking at God a little bit differently, changed his life, changed his prayer life, helped him to realize that God really loved him as a father, really loved him. At first, God considers the role of father so significantly, he incorporates it into the life of the church. And second, he considers this image of father so important that he models his own leadership after it. 1 Timothy says these words, here is a trustworthy saying, if anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. Now, the overseer must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. Yeah, now there's a list, isn't it? Not an easy task by any means. A young boy came to Sunday school. His teacher knew that he usually was very prompt and asked him, is everything okay at home? You're running a little bit late. He replied, no, that he was going to go fishing with his dad, but his dad told him he needed to go to church. Well, the teacher was impressed and said, well, you know, your dad was just really doing the best for you. It's more important to come to church than to go fishing, to which the boy replied, yes, I know. And dad said, we didn't have enough bait for me. Yeah, sounds like some fathers. Sounds like some. It is a challenge for us. And God considers the role of fathers so significant. He built the church around it. He considers this image important. He models leadership after it. And third, if you want to be a father figure, you must realize that while discipline is critical, discipline, listen to this, granddads, you all know this, right? You finally figured it out. Discipline is not your job, right? Right? Am I right? Is it possible to spoil your grandbabies? No, it is absolutely not possible. It is not physically possible. It's not morally, spiritually possible. I will do anything that I can for Harvey and Marshall. If I have to spoil them, yeah, that's what I get to do. I wish I knew that when I was a dad at home with a little baby. Because I think somehow too many dads get in their heads that that's their job. Got to straighten these kids out, make them toe the line. And I know that's important. I know that's part of it. But your primary role in doing that is to be an example. 1 Thessalonians tells us these evangelists reminded the Christians here how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. They intended to leave a good example for the Thessalonians to follow. And our second role is to be that of an encourager. So an example, encourager. Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians that a father's role is that of encouraging, comforting, urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. Because I will tell you, that there's plenty in the world, plenty of evil in the world that will accuse our children. We must be encouragers. Johnny was perpetually late for meals, and his parents finally laid down the law. Look, if you're going to be late, you're just going to have bread and water for dinner. Well, he was on time for a few meals, but inevitably, he was late again. He came in, and sure enough, there was bread and water in his place. He sat down, started chewing on a piece of bread, and then the father did something extremely unusual. He reached over, and he took the son's plate and replaced it with his own, a full plate of food, and then the father ate the bread in silence. In that one act, he showed his son what God showed to us about fatherhood. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son for us, even though we did not deserve it. Well, Will Rogers, who died in a plane crash with Wiley Post back in 1935, was one of the greatest political brains of his time, maybe of all time. And he, interesting guy, but did you know he had 4 children? Yeah, listen to what happened to them. It's interesting. Will Rogers Jr. Died in 1993, starred as his father in 2 feature movies and was a war hero, a successful actor, and a congressman. Mary Rogers, who died in 1989, was a Broadway actress. Jim Rogers, who died in 2000 after starring in some cowboy movies as a young man, spent his life as a horse and cattle rancher. Betty and Will Rogers' youngest son, unfortunately, died of diphtheria when he was 2. And here's some of his advice that he gave to his sons. You can write this down if you want to, or just take notes. First of all, never slap a man who's chewing tobacco. Never kick a cow chip on a hot day. There are 2 theories to arguing with a woman. Neither works. Never miss a good chance to shut up. I like that one. Always drink upstream from the herd. If you find yourself in a hole, stop digging. And the quickest way to double your money is to fold it over and put it back in your wallet. Good judgment comes from experience, and a lot of that comes from bad judgment. If you're riding ahead of the herd, take a look back every now and then just to make sure the herd's still there. Letting the cat out of the bag is a whole lot easier than putting the cat in the bag. And after eating an entire bowl, a mountain lion felt so good, he started roaring. He kept it up until a hunter came along and shot him. The moral of the story, when you're full of bull, keep your mouth shut. Yeah, actually, I think that was for good instructions for preachers. But anyway, what kind of instruction did your dad give to you? What kind of instructions do you give to your children? What kind of example do you give to your grandchildren? Because, you know, they are watching you all the time. There was a winter day when a man found it necessary to go see a neighbor who lived a little way away up some steep mountains. And he'd climbed the dangerous trail for some time through all of this deep snow. And suddenly he heard a little voice behind him. "Be careful, Daddy. I'm walking in your shoes." I'm like, "Yeah, walking in our steps, walking." God bless you, fathers. You have done an amazing job, and you continue to do that. God has blessed us. I used to, from the very beginning, I never really embraced Father's Day as my day. You know, it's not, I'm so glad that I got Harvey and Wilson to say that, and I'll hear from Michael later on today. To me, this is the day when I get on my knees and I give thanks. I choke up too, because this is the most important thing that I can do. God has given me a gift. And on Father's Day, it's my opportunity to go to God and say thank you. Thank you for that gift. Nothing for me, everything for them, because that is the privilege that fathers have been given. So let us go before God and give thanks for that. Oh God, your love is more than we can ever know. That we, like that of a parent who lies awake at night worrying about a child that has not returned home, we wait in silence before you, hoping to be changed. We would like to have more time and energy for the important things of life. We would like to be less concerned about ourselves and more caring about others. We would like to be more cooperative with others at work, at school, to fit in better with groups at church and in the community. But as much as we want these things, oh God, we lack power to bring them about. Only your power can help us to do them. Only when we more fully realize your love for us and know that we have received grace in your sight are we able to begin to change and to live differently. Help us to know your love, O God, to remember that you have given your only Son to die for us and to realize that it is his Spirit that is here today, empowering us to become sons and daughters of God, filled with joy and truth. Speak to us in prayers and sermon. Whisper to us in the moments of silence as shafts of light through colored glass and tones of an anthem. And then, as sons and daughters, let us throw ourselves at your feet, desiring only to be your servants. You have given us this tremendous privilege and opportunity throughout our lives to touch the lives of children. For some of us, that is very apparent right now. For others, that is the past. And we think, well, my involvement with children is limited very, very much. They're grown. They have their own lives. But the reality is we live in a community that is filled with children, and there's still more that we can do. We can make this a better place for those children. And even though we may never see their faces, we may never experience the joy of their smiles, we know that we can still make an impact. We can make a difference. We know what it means to be fathers. And help us to share that with others, to encourage others. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And using words that he gave to us to pray at moments just as this, we join our voices together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.